This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Dropout is completely over at this point. So what are we even doing here? But we're here back to talk about more Elizabeth Holmes Dropout debacle, I guess you call it. My name is Ariel, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Marissa. Marissa, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I got some green juice. I can't get enough of The Dropout. I'm super glad to be here.
Always and, with the green juice.
Yeah, I mean, okay, here's the thing. I didn't have it before I started potting. That's about the show. So this... I don't know. This could be the Dropout effect. I don't know what's happening.
Would you say you had like maybe a montage episode where like you slowly started to shift, and then by the end you were like looking in the mirror and wearing red lipstick?
This is an inspiring step forward for my beverage choices.
Yeah, so we wanted to do this extra bonus pod to get to talk about some real life Elizabeth Holmes and Co. content. And we knew that we couldn't do it alone because we spent all this time doing it alone with some guests along the way, and we decided to bring in the big guns. I am thrilled to be joined by Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm so good. I'm so excited to be talking to you. I have loved your coverage all season long. I loved watching the show. It was just so much fun, and I am delighted to get to talk to you about this story that I am obsessed with.
Yeah, so, I mean, staying on that note, tell us about your journey with Theranos and with little vials of blood in general.
With our girl, Lizzie. Yeah, I am honestly slightly nervous to reveal the full extent of my engagement with
this story.
We can edit this whole part out.
Okay. Yeah, if you could just cut all of this. I think because as soon as I admit all of the stuff that I have consumed, everyone will be like, well, why'd you get this wrong then? Like, I feel like I'm opening myself up to intense criticism.
Yes.
But
no,
be nice, internet. Be nice, internet.
Yeah.
So I first read the Bad Blood John Carreyrou book in, I think, 2019, and then read it again before her trial. And I listened to the Dropout podcast 2 times, and then I listened to John Carreyrou's new podcast when they were actually doing the trial, and then to the point where my phone was being like, I assume you are about to search for Elizabeth Holmes, like at the month of December. It was just continuously like, this is your suggested search. That's probably what you're looking for, you weirdo.
Your phone's like, here, I already looked it up while you were sleeping.
Are you Elizabeth?
We don't have a verdict. It's Christmas. Please stop, Lindsay. You simply must stop.
Yeah. No, it's nice to know. It's nice to be, you know, the algorithms are, they feel like they're rigged against us. It's nice when they are working with us and for us.
Lindsay, are you like a fraud story person, or was it this particular story that you were like really into?
Yeah, I think it's this particular story. I feel like I don't get that wrapped up in true crime things as much as I maybe did at one point. I don't tend to consume a ton of true crime stuff, but this, I don't know, it just completely captured my imagination. I feel like I often am like, true crime makes us believe in a police state. And then when I'm talking about Elizabeth Holmes, I'm like, lock her up.
Shut her down. What is she doing? Yeah, I was
she brings out a side of me that is like determined to seek justice. Like, very punitive. I don't know.
Like our corporate fraud vigilante side comes out.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, it's such a fascinating story about just corporate FOMO, capitalism, getting the best of so many high-powered people. And I just think it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And, you know, it's been fun to talk about. And it's been fun to watch, obviously. Like, they did such a great job casting the show. And everyone involved seemingly was of a really high caliber. And, yeah, I'm sad that there's not going to be more. Like, I'm the first one to say, I will admit, like, I'm a season one purist. And by that, I mean, like, sometimes, like, it didn't need to be more. You should have left it alone. It was this perfect thing. Make it less episodes. That's usually my stick. But with this, I'm like, oh. I'll miss Elizabeth and Sonny's weird chess games that are horrific and terrible. but you know, it's fun. It's fun to look back on this horrible, horrible story. It's, you know, going into what was your Lindsay, your experience with like the show, you know, going into it having had so much you know, history with the story and knowing some of the details so well, like, were you nervous going into the show that like it wouldn't be good? And how was like your just experience overall?
Yeah, I think I tried really hard not to be insufferable. I was really relieved when you asked me to come on for the post-show stuff, because I knew that if I came on during an episode, I was going to be like, well, you know, this is exactly what happened. And I was like, this is a much better fit than everyone's going to be like, oh my God, she's so annoying. Why is she doing this? So this is a better fit. But especially the first couple episodes, I found myself constantly being like, you know, that's true. That really happened. You know, that didn't happen. I was like, okay, I simply must be stopped.
And like, you're like talking to no one in particular.
Yeah, I was like, let me just like consume this as its own standalone work. And I definitely was enjoying it more, I think. Although I do think they did a really good job of making it quite accurate. And like, they don't seem to have fictionalized too much of it. So I thought that was really good. But definitely, it took me a couple episodes to stop over analyzing and like fact checking every single detail. So,
right.
Yeah.
No,
I think
hard.
It's like so easy to do. It was one of the decisions we had to make while we were podcasting is like, how much are we going to talk about what actually happened? And we had to like almost in like another popular show at this time, like sever our minds and be like, okay, we are not talking about real life because otherwise it can get so intertwiny. And we just, so yes, the like letting go and just experiencing the roller coaster that was the show and the story from that perspective, I can relate to. Because I too have, you know, this story has gotten so many, you are not alone in the amount of content you have consumed, Lindsay, on the story. Like there are people that have done a lot more or, you know, or just as much. So.
Yeah. Sure, obviously like alone. The amount of content that's out there just speaks to like the metrics don't lie, right? Like they're not going to make all this stuff because no one's consuming it. And I just remember years ago, like when the HBO documentary came out, it was like, I like to this day, anytime I think about this, one of my initial thoughts is like my coworker being like, you haven't watched this yet? Like in this very specific way. And just like, yeah, no, I haven't watched it. I don't know. And speaking of, I actually didn't watch the HBO documentary until like the other day for the first time. And I was riveted to like see the real life people that like I only saw fictionalized and had heard about like on podcasts. It was like, this is incredible. I was looking at like security cam footage, you know, like this like weird real life. Of the stuff was freaky.
It's funny because I think one of the things that, I mean, she highlights it in sort of a nefarious way where she says like, you don't hear about men entrepreneurs getting the same kind of attention that I'm getting, blah, 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 which is absolutely true. And I was thinking, she uses it in sort of a weapony way, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? I don't know what Sonny Balwani looks like. And I could, like, I feel like I could easily be like, that is Elizabeth Holmes. Like, everybody knows what she looks like. She has such a distinct look. She's the blonde girl with the red lips. And like, I was like, I don't know what Sonny looks like. And he's just as culpable in this whole thing. And I thought that was really compelling to think about. Even just this morning, I was thinking that. I was like, I don't think I could pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah. Every time I see a picture of him, I'm like, really? Like that's like that's him. Okay, all right. And then I have to be like, Sonny picture. Yes, Sonny
picture. Is that the same Sonny that I saw in a different picture the other day? Yeah. Did they recast him in real life?
It makes me wonder if like that was also part of his strategy, right? Like I know we've heard about the story a lot from like her perspective, but not or like from her, I guess, being in the driver's seat of the story. But like from his story, like, when did he realize that things were going weird and he was like, yo, Elizabeth, you take the front You take, you know, you be in front of all of the cameras and go to all the events and do all of that stuff. So it does. I mean, I don't know, because I don't. Contrary to popular belief, Ariel, I do not know Sunny Balwani.
You are Elizabeth Holmes and Anna Delvey.
So, but it doesn't make me question, like, was that part mm-hmm. of, was that a conscious choice or just something that ended up happening?
Yeah. And obviously yeah. I think we'll get into it probably like as we get further yeah. into what has happened since, but like one of the things that I know she was kind of pushing as part of her defense was like, oh, it was like that Svengali defense of he was the mm-hmm. puppet master mm-hmm. kind of behind me the whole time. And I think that,
right.
you know, if we buy into that, then that lends a lot of credence to what you're saying, Marissa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to consider, like, you know, he had come from a, right, from what I'm remembering, like from a Silicon Valley background. So it makes sense that he would know that someone like Elizabeth would like really cut through the noise and be able to, you know, just be an interesting person that people would want to listen to versus like the other kind of people who are always asking for money and like trying to raise capital and all that. And then to use that, like, potentially again, like that being like the strength of it, quote unquote, and then like using that against her eventually to be like, okay, well, now I'm gonna, like you said, Marissa, like I got to put her out in front and like she's the one getting the attention while we're doing these very illegal things that I wasn't really sure we were going to do. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to consider.
It's a fascinating story.
It really is. Yeah, I guess we can talk about like what did the show get, like maybe either the best, right, or like you wish you had seen more of just in general. Like I know one thing, I'll go first. The one thing that one thing that like I found out on the like the HBO documentary was like the lobbying that she had to do in Arizona to like get the law to change so that they could like get people to order their own results, which was like a thing that, and maybe like even saying it out loud, it's way too complicated to explain, but I think like to see footage of her basically speaking to senators, like I'm like, what universe is this? This is so bizarre. I kind of wish I had seen that scene in the show.
Yeah, I think the show took maybe, I mean, and I don't blame them because this whole thing is very, there's a lot of bureaucracy in what they were trying to do when you're dealing with medical
data. We love
data
bureaucracy. If we're John Kerry-Roo fans, we love that.
We love red tape.
So yeah. We could all like show like, but to be able to make it that impactful at the end of the story, they couldn't include like all of the red tape that had to be jumped or shredded or any of that right. before we got there. But it is, I think, a very important part of the story.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I sort of struggled with a little bit, and I mean, I have a few answers to your question, Ariel, but I think the yeah. big thing for me is that at the end of the show, I almost felt like it was a little bit rushed, the yeah. wrap up, where, so when this all kind of first comes out, there's definitely a period of time where she's still getting like lots of awards. She goes to like a Wall Street Journal conference and John Carrier is like, are you kidding me? Like, what is this? What is happening yeah, here? Yeah. Like, she still gets to sort of continue and things sort of stay good for her for a while. And I feel like the show was like the last episode is like 7 years of time or something. Like it covers a ton of time in one episode. And I mean, yeah. I get that it is maybe more of a compelling story to just be like, and then she was found out and then there was a fall. Like maybe that's more compelling, but I did feel like it was a little bit rushed at the end. I don't know if that's fair.
No, I think totally fair. And it's that like classic thing of, you know, in a story like this, how far do you, when you're retelling real life, mm-hmm. or even constructing like a fictional story, like how far do you tell the story and like into the fall and then into like the repercussions do we get mm-hmm. to see, you know, there's always like that tricky balance. And then you add in the fact that it's a real life story and it's still ongoing, yeah. you know, it's like they don't want to lose steam at the end. But mm-hmm. I do agree that I wish we had seen a little bit more of like her day to day life afterwards mm-hmm. and like what she was doing.
I think I agree with that because I almost felt like it came off. I think they did a really good job through most of the series of not making her just like a cartoon villain. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like they did a good job of making her a bit more nuanced of like, you actually believe that she thinks she's doing the right thing. Like, she's not going into this being like, I am going to hurt people on purpose. And I think that's mostly well done. But I do think at the end, because it is a bit rushed and it's like, look, now she's just like under the covers with this man. And like, she's got a dog. It's like, I did feel like that sort of day-to-day stuff made it a little bit more like cartoony at the end.
Yeah, it feels like it was like she almost got a happily ever after without necessarily facing the consequences of her actions, which, you know, at the time, I don't know when this stopped filming and when the trial happened. Like, they were able to put, you know, stuff in the at the end, but you know,
yeah, those
they
those
might not have had
pretty late.
Not have had that information at that. I have no idea.
So I was actually reading this morning. One of the things that I found was like they were, I think, 2/3 of the way done filming when the trial started, and so they were like, "That's why all of a sudden she starts calling him Tiger," because they were like, "We got all the texts and found she called him that." So it's like they're almost done. And they're like, "Oh my god, we have to put this in."
Yes. And that's actually perfect because it works to great effect, just like story, you know, putting aside the accuracy of it. And we love that. But like, it's just, she's never called him that before. And then she starts calling him that. And it's, she's already awkward. And it's that much more awkward because she hasn't done it before. So
I know.
Really like, hey, Tiger. Like, what? What are we?
What? They said they got like hundreds of pages of text messages because the trial stuff came out, and then they were like, what do we pick from this? Like, oh my god, she calls him Tiger. Like, throw it in.
We can only pick one thing. It's the Tiger thing.
I think they made the right call.
I think the Tiger feels very important.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the casting, I mean, you know, it's that for some people I know, accuracy is a thing with casting for these kinds of stories, or like, I want somebody who like looks or like really has the mannerisms down or whatever. I mean, I'm an Amanda Seyfried stan. I think that's a pretty cold take. But, you know, I know my friend who is invested in the story and had been before was like, in the beginning, she was like, she's not doing a good enough job. Cause I think she was expecting like final form Elizabeth Holmes right away. And then by the end, she was like, wow, she was so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the casting overall was like super interesting, and it had a lot of heavy hitters. What are some favorites of yours, Marissa?
Well, as much as I don't like the character, Naveen Andrews did do a good job of making me not like the character, so I think he did a good job. And I was also Amanda Seyfried did fantastic. Like, the way that she kind of transformed into everybody into Elizabeth was it was an inspiring step forward for acting. I'm not gonna lie, like, that was a good time.
Basically gave her like a Gollum scene where she was like it was crazy.
I was watching some interview where she said the reason that she signed on is because Naveen Andrew was signed on for months before her. He was in from the beginning. So I don't know if that was a prosthetic belly or if he really dedicated himself to his craft.
Yeah, not that it matters, but I kind of assumed it was. You know, he's always been a fairly fit guy.
Teasing.
Yeah.
But I also think like the supporting cast also deserves a really good shout out here. We've got Aunt Jackie. She's coming in strong. We've got Sam Watterson. I mean, again, you know, did a really good job at showing generational differences. However, he did a really, really good job at that. And like everyone who came in and played a supporting role, I kind of feel like this was like a summer camp project. It was like, hey, everyone. there's a pandemic happening. You may not have anything going on, but if you'd like to come to this show, we'd be happy to have you. And I'm really glad that they did.
I think the show, both of you have highlighted Amanda Seyfried, but her performance, if it doesn't work without her just like completely embodying that role. And every time I saw her doing that, like, I think, I mean, obviously audio medium, but like the nodding all the time, I'm like,
I'm nodding at you right now.
Like, I feel like every time she did that, I was like, she looks deranged. And like the giant eyes, she never blinks. Like, I think she just fully embodies it, and her body language was just so good. And I think it just doesn't work if she doesn't fully commit, and she totally does. And I think she kind of brings everyone along with her. But I also want to give a shout out to Stephen Fry. I think Ian Gibbons ends up being just incredible. I also saw the side by side of what they look like. And obviously that's not, I'm not someone who's like, they must look the same, but like pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, that was impressive. And also Bill Irwin, like when I was watching the HBO documentary, I was like looking out for that. And I was like, oh my God, Bill Irwin cast as, now I can't remember his name, the professor.
The professor.
Yes.
Channing. There you go.
Like, yes. I'm like Churchill, Channing. Yes. Really great casting. Yeah. Like, you know, ultimately not a super important character at the end, but obviously important to her origins. And Sunny. Yeah. When I saw Sunny in real life, I was like, wow, there he is. Just Naveen Andrew doing him a big favor. That's all I'll
right?
say.
That's what you should right? be so lucky. Right?
Please, Naveen Andrews, play any of us. We want that. Yeah, I think the Channing. She's Channing Robertson. I got it now. Another thing that was really interesting from that documentary that I keep mentioning is like we actually got to hear audio of that meeting that the Wall Street Journal had with the lawyer, like that in-person meeting, which I thought was like super cool because, you know, anybody knows I'm like a legal correspondent of sorts. So I was like very into like the legalities, the legalese of things. That was fun.
Yeah. I saw the some of the deposition footage and I had been wondering a little bit how accurate was that portrayal of her where, you know, she's just looking so completely different in the blue shirt and she's disheveled and all of that. And I think they did a really remarkable job of recreating that scene in particular where I know they kept coming back to the deposition pretty much every episode. So it was really cool to see that in reality, how similar that actually looked. And they also did a great job of capturing, like, apparently she said, I don't remember, over 600 times in that deposition.
So. Yes. Yeah. Some version. Yeah. It was impressive to hear like all the synonyms that it's like, especially listening to the podcast and everyone, you know, everyone had played a version of different snippets of that deposition. And yeah, it was like, I've never heard so many ways to say, I don't know. I don't remember. I can't recall. Not that, I mean, I'm looking at it. Yes, but I can't speak to that. Like, I guess I sent that text.
Well, and again, I mean that not to jump too far ahead, but I know that was one of the things that there were some interviews after the trial with jury members. And they had said basically like, it was weird to hear her be like, I can't recall, I can't recall, I can't recall. But then when it came to things that were flattering to her, she had like extremely detailed memories and was able to be like, oh yeah, like let me paint you a word picture of exactly what happened 10 years ago. And that sort of undermined her credibility a little bit to just keep going back to that well of I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, I had also seen an interview with Amanda. I did a lot of like talk show research for this podcast. I watched a lot of
very important work.
Yeah, thank you. Someone had to do it. But Amanda Seyfried said that she like memorized the deposition. Like she's like, whoa. I can still recite the answers to the deposition because she memorized it. She's like that. I've never been able to do that with any
it's her Uncle
or
Vanya.
Any script or anything like that. Yeah. Whoa. So I thought incredible. That was like it just spoke to how captivating it is in general, and especially to you know the person who's doing it. It was just amazing.
Elizabeth Holmes is Shakespeare, I guess, basically. Right? Amanda
Seyfried is Shakespeare.
I wonder if she found it hard to get back out of character, like not to do it in the voice.
Like, she's like, she's at the drive-thru. She's like, I would like a tall white macchiato. And then people are like, what did you say? She's like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Use my normal voice.
Elizabeth Holmes. Yeah.
Also was like, yeah, I can never meet her. Like, I can never talk to her. Like, that would be really, really weird.
Yeah, that must be so weird. And then like, what if she met her and then Elizabeth Holmes was wearing an Amanda Seyfried mask? And then it would be like, what? This is so weird. I wonder if that mask thing is true. Like,
does true. Anyone know? Yes. Yes, it's true. Yes. Know? So that was when you asked the question of what is something that they got right. That was the thing I was going to mention. And I'm glad we came back to this because the thing that I had remembered being true was that Tyler did have to play a song. I don't know if it was in the awkward context of like, she just found out you're trying to whistle blow, but it was definitely like he had to sing her a song in front of people and it was super awkward and super cringy. But like, I was like, surely that mask thing must not be true, but it's true. It's real.
Oh my God. They definitely hired actors, right? I mean, partially, maybe. I don't mean the show. I mean, in real life, they hired actors.
People willing to wear those masks.
That's bizarre. I don't want that. I don't want that at any of my parties. I think I already said that.
I thought I already planned your birthday party for next year. So sorry.
Marissa, cancel it. Get the deposit back. Get the deposit back. Don't print those masks. You don't want that.
And we're all going to wear Elizabeth Holmes masks.
Mm-hmm. On a podcast. It'll be great.
On a podcast. Everyone will just like have to listen to us speak through the annoying mask.
Oh my God.
Before we get too far away from the cast, and we can still talk more stuff about it, I just want to shout out Peter James Smith, who played the CMS worker.
Gary Yamamoto.
Gary Yamamoto, who turns out I didn't realize played Ed on the West Wing. That's not nothing.
All right. Like past Marissa is very, very, very disappointed. She was really in love with that show.
Yeah. Anyway, great job. Great job by him. Yeah, this is I would say, I guess, speaking of Tyler Schultz, like that he was, like Dylan Minnette did, he doesn't look exactly like him, but he's like a thin, fit guy who's white. Yeah. Okay. He looks like this
guy. He looks exactly the same.
I mean, that scene specifically, the thing that you mentioned with the guitar, I thought was played. Yeah. I can't even imagine how it was in real life, but I mean,
so
that
awkward.
Was played really well by both of them, especially him. I think that was like his best moment as like that character.
He did a good job, I thought. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I felt like he really, especially you both showed it at the letter last week. I thought he did a really good job with that too.
Yeah.
Oh, I had forgotten about that. Oh, thanks, mm-hmm. Lindsay. It's heartbreaking.
But that was one thing, like the letter, or I guess like the statement from George Schultz. I think I would have liked to have seen that included in the show. Like we saw him hand it over, but we didn't actually see what it said. And I think it would have been nice to see that because I can't remember the exact wording. I could look it up, but won't. But it was something to the effect of like, my grandson did what was right, even though it was hard, and I'm really proud of him. And I think like, yeah, like we all heard like he never apologized, but he definitely said that. And I think that that's like pretty special from an old white guy too.
Yeah,
especially one that important and well connected. And you give up, that was a perfect opportunity for a Sam Waterston voiceover. Like you could have like been showing things like, dear Tyler, thanks for everything. Or no, actually it was a public open letter. So this is Tyler. I don't know.
Hey, America, my grandson.
To whom it may concern.
The right thing.
My grandson is A-okay. Like, what are we doing? It's crazy to me still that like his parents had to pay for all those fees when, mm-hmm. I mean, whatever, they're ostensibly rich also, but like that the grandfather didn't help. But what I mean, it's people, capitalism going to capitalism, I guess.
I mean, like if I were going to write a college paper on this, I would, like, this is like, you could see where like toxic masculinity has really infiltrated this entire story. And I think this is like one of those areas where he just like he can't bring himself to like face his grandson that he wronged, and he can't bring himself to help his own family. There has to be a lot of shame involved in that for him. Not saying that I agree with what he did, but yeah, if that would be one example of where toxic masculinity can come into play.
I think just one
I think they did a really good job with Tyler, and I think it's been it's been nice to see some of the interviews with him that have come out since, where like he went through some really, really dark stuff and has been really open about the mental health struggles that he's gone through since all of this, and like how challenging that time was. And it seems like things now are a lot better for him, and I like that he gets this like deserved sort of hero edit in the story now. And I think they did a good job of capturing his role in all of this.
Yeah, they were he was saying in some YouTube thing I was watching that he didn't expect to be able to get jobs after this, because he was told, like, for being a whistleblower, this is not how things normally run. But he was really well accepted by everyone and was able to continue on doing real science, real work. And basically, anytime he goes and gives a speech or something like that, someone's like, thank you for saving my life. So he's able to kind of reap the rewards here of doing the right thing. Sometimes doing the right thing is the right thing, you know? So
that sounds right to me.
Yeah. Sometimes, most times.
Yeah. And I love, and similarly, like let's shout out Erica as well.
Yeah.
Like,
I
love
I was just waiting. So I was like, yes, we know we're going to get our Erica mention in.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I love that title card at the end or whatever, where they're saying like she now is running a nonprofit or whatever that's dedicated to like ethics and whistleblowing and making sure everything is above board. So love that for her.
Yeah, she did, you know, obviously something really important and something not easy. And I think her portrayal was good. Great. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I wasn't like, you know, edging that or like being sneaky. It was great. And but the thing that like I am struck by having seen, having heard her speak in real life again on the documentary is like she's so and it came to mind because of like the trial and like apparently her testimony was really impactful. Like she's charming is the wrong word, but it's like she's very easy to listen to. She's very passionate about this.
Very genuine, I think.
Yeah, very genuine. Thank you. That's certainly what I was feeling. And almost like now in my brain, I don't really remember the performance as much because like real Erica Jong is just like so compelling. But yeah, I'm glad that she definitely got her due on the show storyline in general.
Mm-hmm. And the show did a good job too, I think, of not shying away from the fact that yes, Tyler and Erica were both the whistleblowers in this, but it's not the same thing. Like, you're still Tyler Schultz after this. And she's like, I had to work really, really hard to get even this job. And I am sacrificing a hell of a lot more than you are by doing this. And like, she never obviously was as mean as that in saying it. And what Tyler did was still incredible. And using that name is extremely powerful too. But what she did, I think, is incredibly powerful in a really different way.
Yeah, yes. I so appreciated that scene in her apartment when Tyler realizes that he has privilege and he's like, totally. This is what I have to do. And I think the partnership between them was really great to see because I think she pushed Tyler. Like, I don't know if Tyler would have done what he did if it wasn't for her. So it was great to see that aspect as well.
Yeah, it's good old Tyler, but not if not for good old Erica. And speaking of them, like, is there, so I had this thing where, so Erica decides, like in the documentary, it seems like she decided to go, and not that it matters, but I have a point, that she decided to go to CMS because they would give her legal protection. Like she was warned by a lawyer, like how expensive this would be and like they could sue her and like do all these things to her, and she was like, oh, if I go to them then I'll have legal protection. Not, and again, I'm not saying that she only did it for that and not for actually right reasons, but my point is, and bring this up, is like, didn't Tyler also have like that option because he had to pay all those legal fees? So he couldn't he have also like sought some sort of I don't know, whistleblower status? It just seemed dumb to me that he was like, oh, my parents lost all this money, and Erica's like, I'm a whistleblower. Like, I don't have to worry about this stuff. Maybe it's a moot point, but it's something that came to mind.
I don't know enough about you're the legal expert. So I don't know enough about the law to say what would have qualified Erica, but not Tyler. But I think the fact that Tyler's grandfather was on the board might have some reason as to why he had to take the route that he did.
Yes. No, it's true. I mean, certainly he can't hide behind anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I had never heard that about why she approached CMS, but I think one of the things I was looking this morning, I was flipping through the book, just trying to remind myself of how that kind of came to light for John Carreyrou. And I guess she had sent that email like 3 weeks before the article came out. And he had heard that there was like, oh, CMS is doing some investigation, I want to get my hands on the report. And he didn't even know that it was her. Like, she was already one of his sources and she didn't tell him.
That's
like,
crazy.
And also I did this. And he's like, and then I found out later, like, this is Erica Jong that sent this. And then I guess he goes on to say, like, when she sent it initially, they were like, oh yeah, we'll probably need like 2 days. We'll go check it out. And then they're like, wow, we sure need more than 2 days for all these problems.
Gary was there a lot longer.
Yeah, I think they said he like went for 2 days, came back a couple months later, and stayed for another 4 or something. So
that's crazy. Is there? Yes, another thing. Like, I'm trying to think of like what else I want to say about the show versus real life. I died when I saw actual footage of them dancing. I was like, no way! Like, also. Simultaneously so validating for like the show and like our fun experience and all the joy that we experienced watching like Naveen Andrews and Amanda Seyfried dance, but to see them do it in real life was simultaneously like nightmare fuel and incredible television.
Yeah, they were dedicated. They took their time. They learned all of the things.
they had that herpes party, apparently.
Was that before or after they got syphilis? I can't remember.
According to Tyler, a lot of people could have got syphilis because that test was not accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super not.
Is there anything else about the show or about comparisons that you want to say? Because I feel like we kind of should transition to, at some point, we're going to transition to the case and what happened after the show. But we should expend all our resources, everything we want to say about the show.
Spend all that money that we got, all that mm-hmm. money time.
Yes, all the $400 million.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, one of the things that I wondered about a little bit was, like, a big part of, and maybe this will be kind of a segue, but in the trial, I know there was a lot of conversation about Sunny and Elizabeth and what their dynamic was like, and she does allege a lot of really abusive behavior from him. And I wondered, to some extent, if the show, like, they definitely made him a horrible boss and they made him a horrible guy, but I almost wondered if they, like, downplayed how crappy he was to her. I don't know. I wonder if that's like taking a stand to some extent and being like, I don't know, like saying that's why. I don't know if it was hard for them to do, but that was something I struggled with a little bit, where it was like you definitely see flashes of it, but I wondered if they shied away from that a little bit. Is this too dark?
I wonder. No. I'm thinking that I wonder if, because, and you, I think you'll be able to, we can help each other here, Lindsay. You'll be able to tell me like how much we really know from real life.
Yeah.
But it's, my guess would be, if they weren't 100% sure, they saw maybe, you know, especially in all the texts and in certain stories, they saw proof of the possibility of him being violent. And then you have her at the trial being like, he was, but the show maybe is trying to be careful that, like, okay, what can we actually, let's be responsible with what we portray here, right? Let's not just like put something in for sensationalized reasons. So maybe it's like towing that line of like, it makes sense that he would have gone up to that line of, you know, knocking the juice out of her hand, knocking the box out of her hand, like they're teasing that violence. But maybe if they don't have like actual proof, again, not that it didn't happen, if she's, you know, if she says that it's happened outside of the story that she's telling for the jury, then I believe her. But it's interesting to consider like what responsibility the show has in that sense.
That's a great point. I think, sorry, Marissa, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's probably very fair, where they have tons of people sort of corroborating what happened at work, and they have lots of people saying, here's exactly what happened in the workplace, versus their private life is probably something that's harder to be able to vouch for what's going on. And you can get some hints of what's happening based on text messages and based on what people are saying about his general volatility. But maybe I think that's probably a fair point, Ariel, is that they don't want to sort of make an allegation that they can't substantiate. Because I do think that then maybe undermines the rest of your credibility if you're just throwing stuff in there that you can't prove, maybe.
Well, and it's got to be hard. It's difficult because of the subject matter, but I'm going to say it anyway. when the only source you have is a pathological liar, it can be hard to figure out. Like, so I think that measured approach, it had to, you know, be taken, because I also think that the thesis that they were writing throughout the story was that neither, like, these are people in a system, and this is like what happened, like all of these things came into play. We've got privilege, we've got you know, the patriarchy, we've got tech we've got all of this stuff, and if they come in with a line of domestic abuse, then that becomes the story as opposed to everything else. Not saying that I don't believe that it happened. Like, I do believe, if that's her account, then I believe her. But I can also put myself in the shoes of the producer saying, well, you know, a lot of people believed her about a lot of things. So
yeah. No, it's hard.
I think that's very fair. Like, I think, and yeah, I feel like I led us into a dark path here, but
no,
not at all. I mean, I think it's important because it comes up in the trial. Like, if you know, it's not like we're speculating on something, you know, like that isn't worth mentioning. And the show, like, I think you're right that the show is trying to hint at it. Like, they could have just left that entire thing out, but they are trying to be accurate, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and they certainly don't make him look like he's a picnic to live with. Like, he doesn't look like he's well, a good guy. So,
but I think that knowing that coming, you know, if you know that from the trial, it does make some of those experiences a little bit easier when you're watching the show, because some of them did come out of nowhere. Like, some of them escalate really, really quickly. And if you have that knowledge outside of watching the show, I think it can make it a little bit more understanding, like, as opposed to, like, being whiplash. Well, is like, oh, my gosh. Who is this guy?
Yeah, totally. And now that I think about it, there is one scene that I had sort of forgotten until just this second, where there's a moment where when they're going to, like, the party or something, and it was her 30th birthday, I think, and he, like, grabs her wrist and she's, like, not here or something. That was super, I was like, oh, this has, like, a very tense, like, there is a lot being said in that not here. Like, that's carrying a lot of weight for what's presumably going on at home. And, so in their defense, I do think that's there.
It also might be when those text messages came out and when they got them too, because if you said that they had, like, had so much of the filming done, and then it's like, oh, we just learned about this piece. Okay, well, we'll have her grab her hand at, or have him grab her hand at this moment and, like, start folding it in where we can. They might, they might have done it from the very beginning if they had those, that information. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
It's hard to know.
I did think of one more thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, please.
One more thing I wanted to flag before
we want the list. We want the full list.
The Linda character, I thought, added a lot to the show. Not a real person, added a lot to the show.
That is the lawyer. That's Michaela Watkins' character. Yeah. Yes. No, and I didn't, I had that thought. I'm glad you brought that up because watching the documentary, I was like, okay, so it seems like the majority of people are based on real people. And I know that there was this woman that joined as general counsel, but that's clearly not her. Like, I could just tell. Yeah. And I was like, maybe Linda's a composite, or maybe Linda is the person that we needed to say you hurt people at the end also. So it was like, it maybe served two purposes.
Yeah, we needed someone to confront her at the end. But yeah, I think she is supposed to be just kind of a proxy of all the various lawyers. Like, I know when Tyler goes to George Shultz's house and they're like, well, there's a lawyer upstairs. It's just like some random couple guys or whatever. So I think she works well. And, like, you don't have to get to know all these random lawyers. It's just, she is the face of the company's legal counsel or whatever. And I thought she did a really good job.
I think she also portrays women in this situation. Not like this one woman portrays all women.
She's the monolith.
because of the scene at the end, because, you know, because of what's happened in Silicon Valley to women since the story, like, she had to have that conversation. It was just a way to kind of have her be a lot of things throughout the series.
Anytime Michaela Watkins shows up, I'm like at least 40% more interested in what's happening on the screen, so you know, it's always a great call. She's great.
She was really good. And that, like, rant at the end, initially I was like, oh, is this too heavy-handed? And I was like, no, she's really, like, selling it. She's doing a good job with this. Like, do you realize what you did? You hurt people. And especially the point of, like, oh, it's nice that you're just, like, enjoying yourself and having a good time. Well, I now have to go and try to find a job when the last thing on my resume is I defended Theranos.
Yeah. And just to that point, like, she's so good. She has, like, very dry, sarcastic delivery down, and, like, that awkwardness, like, it's just, it's basically probably muscle memory to her at this point, Michaela Watkins. So it's like, she plays it perfectly. Like, she's playing all the notes. So yeah, I guess we will take a quick commercial break, hear a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with some more Theranos content.
Theranos therapy. We're here for
Theranos therapy. That's what we should have called it.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. Wow, what a time. As we consider everything that's happened, it's so fascinating now to consider. So now all we have this trial, right? Like, at some point, I think it was, did the trial start in 20? Obviously COVID had a big part to play. Like any good entertainment story, whether fictionalized or actual news, was delayed by COVID in some way. And this one was no different. It started in 2021, right? Last year, like in the fall.
So it was supposed to start in 2020. It got pushed back because of COVID. And then it was supposed to happen in the spring, I think. And then she announced that she was pregnant. So they pushed it back for that.
I had
forgotten about that. Like, there's so many like details to keep track of. And like, you learn them and then like your brain pushes it away.
But like, who else in the justice system gets to delay their trial because they're pregnant? I mean,
it's a lot of privilege.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel comfortable bringing this up only because they brought it up on the podcast and I had analysts and experts weigh in on this. So apologies if this comes off as insensitive, but like, everyone was like, did she only get pregnant to gain sympathy from the jury? It's crazy. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they spoke to Phyllis Gardner, the professor. I think they spoke to her. She's like, of course she's pregnant. Of course she is. And I was like, that's a classic Phyllis, am I right? Like,
I love Phyllis.
She's so great.
Yes.
what a star.
Played by Aunt Jackie. Yeah, I don't know. Marissa, what do you think? I think we have to make an official call here.
Oh, okay. So, I would say it's feasible. Like, I don't know.
It's not the craziest thing she's ever done.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know, she knows how things work, so she knows how to have babies. That's all.
I wonder if she was sitting there like, what would Steve Jobs do? How do I change the story?
Steve Jobs. I don't think Steve Jobs would do this.
Steve Jobs would get pregnant.
The only reason he didn't is because he can't. He couldn't.
Oh my god. It did come up though, honestly. Like, I mean, I feel like we can't, obviously, we're not attempting to just explain why she got pregnant, but it did come up among the jurors. Like, there were a couple of people on the jury who said, I don't know if I can actually convict someone who has a baby at home. Like, I'm not sure I can do that. And there was like a question of whether that person could still serve on the jury.
Well, and it also like plays to the question of, did she do this to hurt people? Right. Because like, if you have like a mom, like someone who's bringing life into the world, can you look at that person and say, like, you wanted to hurt people? Because I think the way the verdict played out, it was definitely not on the hurting people side. It was on the fraud side. So,
I think that's a great point. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more. But like, it definitely came down on the side of like the big guys with money.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating to consider. And also, like, obviously it goes without saying, it's sad it seems like she's going to get at least some jail time, although nothing, I guess, really would be surprising. And it's just sad to think, you know, that the baby will probably be without her for some amount of time. Just another thing to add to the list of why this was terrible. But to that point, Lindsay, about like what she did or didn't, what was she, as far as like the charges, and I don't mean like let's get into every nitty gritty one, but in general, she was charged with obviously some of the stuff that she ultimately was found guilty of, which was like conspiracy to defraud, right?
Like committing wire fraud was a big one. Conspiracy to commit wire fraud, which I had to look up because I was like, what does that mean? Like something with phones? Like what?
So it's some kind of cassette player. What were some of the other things that she didn't get convicted of that she could have?
Yeah, so I'm not going to know the exact, like, what the name of the charge they came down to basically, like, did you intentionally or, you know, put people's actual health at risk. And a lot of it sort of centered around the people that were referenced in the cards at the end, where it was saying like some people got incorrect diagnoses and some people, the person who was told that they were having a miscarriage, the person that was told that they had HIV, all of these things that were being viewed as you gave people incorrect diagnoses that could have seriously hurt people. Basically all of those were viewed, she got either no verdict, like they couldn't reach a verdict, or she was found not guilty of those. And they tended to be around, you can't prove that she was trying to hurt patients. And that sort of centered around like, nobody actually, I don't know. I think it was just like proving the intent there was simply too hard, where proving that she wanted to get money, that's maybe easier to do.
Yeah. And I think if you're looking at it, like with the, again, the layman, like reasonable cause edict or a reasonable doubt, excuse me, edict of like, can you say that with certainty? Like they had a lot of information, a lot of like forged documents that to draw on. And it's like, yeah, you really did intend to like commit these white collar crimes. To that point, why didn't we get those forged documents on the show and I just missed it? Like, I feel like that we should have seen.
I agree. I was thinking about that too. That was something that I was surprised we didn't see because it ended up being so much. Maybe they hadn't gotten to it in the trial yet. That was something that they didn't know about. Maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not that long, right? Like, Marissa, we can do that right here on the pod in like 3 minutes. We're like, we made a document. Like showing her doing that doesn't take long as far as like an episode.
I mean, or what if they're saving all of this for like an epilogue episode?
Stop.
You
do
know,
a podcast.
Where it's like one thing. But one thing I do want to, I think is interesting about the charges is how it'll affect Sunny's trial, because I wonder if she didn't know to the extent I'm sure she knew, but to the extent that Sunny did, that people were getting incorrect diagnoses, that and the impact of that, or how many people or whatever, just in terms of how they portrayed it on the show, of like Elizabeth's job was like, go get the money. Right. That's what you're to do. And so Sunny probably knows a lot more. So it'll be interesting to see how his charges, because his trial's still happening right now.
Right. And at that, to that point, like they were originally on trial together, right, Lindsay? And it wasn't until they kind of turned on each other, or like rather her defense team decided that they were going to pull that, what you referenced earlier, the Svengali defense, against him, and then they had to obviously like legalese, they had to separate.
Yeah. So, and also I just pulled up what the other counts were that she was not found guilty of. She's acquitted on three counts of defrauding patients who paid for tests from Theranos and a related conspiracy charge. So she couldn't be found to be like defrauding actual patients, but she was found to be defrauding investors. But yes. So initially they were supposed to be tried together. The way I understand it is that like, because they're so, you know, intertwined, and I mean, the show ends with him being like, I'm not going to hurt you. I think that sort of speaks to this a little bit, where it's like, we're going to be tried together. We live, you know, we win together, we lose together. And then all of a sudden it came out in some of these podcasts and in reporting and stuff that now all of a sudden they are being tried separately. And the speculation before her trial started was, presumably they have turned on each other. They are now going to blame each other, and that means they can't be tried together. So, and then that it's ended like up being what happened in her trial.
They're just going to vote for each other. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. I haven't followed his at all, but that was definitely what she did, where it was like, oh, Sunny was the guy behind all this.
It's weird to consider, right? Because just like I feel like my instinct here, my gut reaction is, it's got to suck to go second, right? Like to wait till like all the stuff comes out, you're like, damn, you have a lot less control of like the narrative and the public perception and,
Well, yeah, and like, who knows how many other there at one time, I think there were like three shows in production or talking about production on the story. So not only do you have like everything that's come out, like public opinion, try to find someone who doesn't know about the story. Try to find someone who has a non-biased opinion. It's going to be really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
Well, I know they had a hard time even finding people, because some people got excused from the jury because they had listened to the podcast about the dropout. And then it was like, now you're trying to find people who haven't seen this show on Disney Plus. Like, that seems extra challenging.
Right. I have to say, like, speaking of the jurors, yes, Lindsay, like you mentioned, I listened to the Dropout, the podcast's episodes about the trial. I didn't get to finish the last few, but you know, one of the things that came out was like those jurors that you mentioned, of like, you know, there's one that was Buddhist and was like worried about you know, like the karmic and just like being able to not do that to someone, you know, and somebody else who had like similar for a slightly different reason but had like similar qualms. And then there was the juror that had to be excused because they kept doing Sudoku.
What? In the drill, I know.
This is crazy. When I heard this, I died laughing. I was like, not just once, not just twice, apparently several
repeatedly
times. Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah, I remember being shocked by that too. And then it was like some other juror like ratted on them. They're like, I keep playing Sudoku.
Well, this is good. Like, if you're looking to get out of jury duty, bring Sudoku.
That's Sudoku. You know,
play a little Candy Crush sitting in the box.
Sneak the Sudoku in your sock if you have to. And
this is not official advice of the podcast. This is just a.
Listen, if you pay me a dollar, anything we say between us is covered by attorney-client.
That's how it works. That's what good fights are.
That's how it works. Mm-hmm. Better call Saul. in all the things, like of all the things to happen for why a juror got excused, and like they then at even after that point, I think there are like maybe two alts left. Like they're churning through the alt pool, and they're starting to worry because if you have no more jurors and something bad happens, then you have like a potential mistrial, hung jury, whatever. This was just hilarious. Like, wow. It's just, I don't know, there's something about it that just feels so perfect, like the person who just like doesn't really care.
I think she said at the time, she was like, oh, I just like, I'm someone who fidgets a lot and I like need something to do with my hands. And then it was like, yeah, sorry, you should be doing something
else. But also like maybe like literally just like twirl your thumbs. I don't know. Like,
get a fidget spinner. I don't know, man.
At least you can be listening while you're spinning that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
Incredible. And like, would you be, I guess I would be offended. Like, really? My trial? I got like all this money. I defrauded like so
many people. I wonder
if
that's what happened.
And you can't
even pay attention.
I could
totally see that happen. I could see Elizabeth being like, listen, this lady's not looking at me. This lady's not paying attention. Like, I am serving here.
Wait,
and she's not doing anything.
So what you're saying, that Elizabeth was the whistleblower
in
this case?
In this case of the excused juror.
The rural juror. I wonder if that was the problem. They were, and they had to drive every day from the rural counties, and then to stay up, like to not fall asleep during the trial. She had to do Sudoku. I mean, that's just me.
Hollywood, if you're listening, please
write this. This is the story we want to see. That's really the only note I took as far as the jury was. I wrote the Sudoku juror.
It's so good.
Just what, like that they, if somehow that had ended up on the show, I would have thought that that was made up. Like, I don't know, it's just like so, or I guess that's what makes it wild. Like, it has to be true.
It does seem so improbable, because it's like, of all the trials that you're not going to pay attention to, right? Like, surely this has got to be up there in terms of most interesting ones to sit through.
I mean,
you would think.
I would be interested if they quiz this person to see. She may have retained a lot of information by just like doing something else. So,
maybe Sudoku was like her super or her secret trick to paying attention.
Yeah.
I think she said that when they asked her about it. And then they were like, listen, like, we can't.
They're like, yeah, we understand. All brains are different. However,
this is not good for business.
It doesn't look great.
If one of those like courtroom painters gets a painting of you doing Sudoku, that's not good. You know that.
Well, and I think both. I think even the defense, I think even the prosecution, they were like, yeah, like, we don't want an asterisk here. Of like, we don't want any opportunity for her to be like, this person, right? You know?
Because with that, it's such a crapshoot, right? You're like, oh man, like, even if they were a quote unquote favorable juror for whatever the, you know, algorithm says is, you know, for, you know, demographic wise and all the different data points they have. But it's just like, ooh, I don't know, this might swing the other way. Like, the coin could, you know, flip on the wrong side, and she wasn't paying attention on the wrong day, and it's not worth it. Crazy.
Yeah, I know. Like, I was seeing even today, there was like an article, I think it's from maybe a week ago or something, where it was like, prosecutors urge judge to ignore Elizabeth Holmes's plea for a new trial or something. Like, she's already trying to pull this stuff of like, I should be acquitted. So,
well, she's got so much time. So I was thinking about this while you both were talking about the trial. What is Elizabeth doing right now? Oh, probably living in her little like distracted world where she doesn't think that any of this is happening, because she's not choosing to realize it. She's stuffing down all the feelings, she's doing all this stuff, and then like, it'll come back up, oh hey that trial thing, remember that? And she's like, no, get that to go away. You know what I mean? Like, I just, she's had so much time that like, I don't know if it's real for her.
Yeah, like, we talked about, you know, Anna Delvey, and listen, I'm not making a value judgment on like who is worse and who did what and who deserves what retribution, but like, it's just crazy that because of their situations, and like, you know, Anna Delvey being foreign and being treated a certain way, not being connected, and she's like spent all this time in prison, you know, obviously
before her trial, like
decidedly so, right? And between, that's my point, like in between all the steps along the way, just like incarcerated off the bat, and here she's like, all right, we're keeping our eye on you. All right, you can, you know, you're on our list.
All right, go have a baby. All right, go get married.
Don't go too far
with your dog.
Don't go too far from your mansion that we're allowing you to live in. It's like, you know, just this whole thing about justice being different for certain people. I think totally. I think there's something to that.
Yeah, no, totally. And she's still living like a very lavish life.
Yeah. Maybe we deport. You know, and Elizabeth Holmes, and we keep Anna Delvey. I'm just saying, can we make that happen? I don't know.
Where shall we send her?
Where should we send her? That's a great point. Somewhere where they talk like this, where she can be among her kind.
Ariel, I feel like you've gotten so good at the voice.
Oh, thank you.
I know you've been like gradually working on it over the course of the season, and yeah, I feel like she's here. She's with us.
I didn't know I was podcasting with her, but.
Yeah. Spirit of Lizzie,
like trying to make me be Elizabeth.
Right, I was gonna say it's like it's a red herring. I'm like playing the blame on you. Like, oh, you're Elizabeth Holmes, but really it's me.
So good.
Yeah, my mustache is fake. I take it off when I'm Elizabeth Holmes. thank you. what an odd thing to be proud of. I mean, as far as I guess elsewhere, as far as the trial, you know, I mentioned already, Erica Chong did a great job. Like, I think it was like a total of 3 days on the stand, which is, you know, a long time to be listening to one person. Obviously her testimony was super important, and as I already said, as far as I'm concerned, she's a very compelling speaker. What else did, like, so basically the charges, like they tried to put some of the stuff on Sunny, and obviously, you know, she wasn't found guilty of the patient stuff. Has the Sunny trial started already, actually, now that I'm thinking about it?
That's sort of more of what I was thinking about this morning, in terms of like, I was so all in on like checking every single day, like, have they reached a verdict yet? And I hadn't even realized that his trial had started. Like, I don't know why. It's just something about her that just seems
An overlap period, like where hers hadn't quite ended and his was like already starting.
No, his started, I think, early March, maybe.
Yeah, really recently.
Yeah, but like I haven't been paying attention to it really at all in the same way. And there's stuff about like new text messages emerge between Sunny and Elizabeth, man, how am I not on top of this?
There's tiger
stuff that I could have read.
Yeah, tiger baby.
It's always a tiger. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder now, like, if they had conversations, you know, the people who are putting out the podcasts, and it's like, well, she's the story. Do we want to cover his trial, even though he's involved? And like having that discussion of like, is this diluting the brand? Are people going to listen? Do people care?
I mean, we even get it like in the show, right, where they're like, you are the story, this is what we're going to put on the cover. It's just that super, that extreme close-up of her face, right? That's, and I think, true, that speaks to how it's being covered still. It's like, she is the story.
Yeah, even as we're talking about it, and like news is aware, and like they're talking about how she's the story, and it's kind of informing the narrative a little bit, it doesn't matter. Like, we can't help but like fall into these traps, even though we're aware of them. It's really interesting to consider.
Like, yeah, like, just, I know I'm being manipulated, but I'm letting it happen anyway.
It hurts so good.
It's so good.
So I guess we'll see. So, and we're still waiting on her actual sentencing, right? So like, she has been found guilty, and now it's just a question of like what her actual punishment will be.
Yeah, it was expected that she'll get her sentence after Sunny's trial is done. They'll both get their sentences, or their, yeah, sentences
so
at the same time.
Long. Like, the kids will be like 5 years old by the time.
So it's possible. So it's possible that they'll get their sentencing at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
I don't, like, yeah. I mean, more so, I'm not sure that it would be like in the same room or anything, but like,
right,
once,
right,
Sunny,
I mean,
is
like, more so. Interesting. Yeah, I just wonder. Yeah, like now I'm curious to see like what he has been saying. And yeah, even as I think about it, this is so terrible to admit, but even as I'm thinking about like, oh, I'm gonna go find out, I'm like, am I though? Do I care about this trial?
I mean, I surely will. I'm still so caught up in it, but I do think that it's really, to your point about going second would really suck, I think a lot of what she was trying to portray was that yeah, I don't, you know, I don't read all of my emails, like she says in the show. And she was trying to suggest that she was just kind of at the top, didn't really know what was going on, but it's going to be impossible for him to make that argument. So it's really interesting to see how he's going to play it. Because, I mean, even in her defense, she was saying, I didn't actually know what was happening. But all the messages are like, look, Sunny wrote this email. So,
yeah. That's true.
Who's to say? It's what a failure in leadership. Like, you know, come on.
It's time for new leadership.
Yeah.
It sounds like he was doing some Sudoku while so a lot of the stuff was going on. Maybe that's his defense. Like, listen, I know it's my email, I'm on that email, but I was busy. Like, I wasn't really paying attention.
But if it's not Sunny, who's it gonna be? Like, exactly. You know, like, who else?
It was Erica Chung.
No, we love Erica. No.
Leave Erica out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the craziest twist, though? It was Erica all along.
Oh, my gosh.
All along.
Like, from a legal standpoint. Like, I know, yeah, no, like, I from a, you. Like, what? Philosophical standpoint, where there's a large question there. But, like, I can totally understand Elizabeth Lawyer's going, hey, look, I know that you want to do this trial together, but however, the really only way to get you off is to kind of blame this guy. So that's the route we're going to take. You know, like, I get it from because of her legal system. That's what they got to do.
I do think that scene in the finale was one of the best scenes in terms of their dynamic together was when they were sitting there in the whatever the office, maybe the one with the weird head patting scene. I thought that was so good, where she was just like, what did you do, Sunny? Did you do something I don't know about? Like, I thought that was so good. Like, she just I was so completely caught up in that moment where I was like, whoa, she's good. She is very good.
And it's so, even though it's so powerful, it's like still so subtle in this way where you're watching, you're like, wait, is it happening? Wait, is this real? Like, oh my God, is she saying what I think she's saying?
Well, there's so many things happening. She's getting her head pet. She's like all of this stuff. And then it's like, and then out of nowhere, not nowhere, but like she emerges as like the villain in his story.
Totally. Yeah. But where will you live? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just so good. So good. I loved it from both of them. I thought they both absolutely nailed that scene.
That was, it was like a horror movie that you're watching, but you like hope it, you know, like in some horror movies, you're like, yes, give me the good stuff here. It's like, no, please, everyone be cool. It's like crazy. We'll have to see. Yeah. I mean, that is for sure one of their best scenes and like the escalation of what has happened before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to call out probably the most important thing of all, like the Jib Jab videos with the cutouts of their faces dancing. That was real. That was real, people. Like, I saw that and like,
that's... Are you okay? Are you all right?
I'm not okay.
I'm not well.
real. Yeah, I'm not well after watching that. Real Elizabeth is like creepier than Siegfried. So like, I was very like entranced by like, not in a good way, or like I would have invested money, but more just like... this is weird. I figured it would be weird, but it was like weirder than I was anticipating. And I think if anything, Amanda Seyfried did her a favor, like, you know, normalizing some of these things.
I agree with you. I think, and it's something that I have seen in just sort of reviews of the show, where some of the stuff that Amanda Seyfried is doing is, I feel like I'm saying it wrong, Seyfried is doing, comes off as cartoonish a little bit, where you're like, surely she's not like that. And then you're like, no, actually she's weirder. Like, in real life, she's weirder than that. And one of the things I remember thinking at the time is in the scene where she finds out about Ian's death, she reacts to that in kind of a human way, like a weird way, but she has a reaction to it. And they have spoken to his wife in several podcasts, and she's like, all I got was a phone call being like, you need to return his computer.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things about like covering the show and covering Inventing Anna is just like the humanization of humans. I mean, like, humans are humans. We all deserve dignity and
human,
all of that.
Human's gonna human.
But it's just like it cultivated empathy for me in areas that I didn't necessarily expect. And you know, that's one of them, I think.
It's one of them for sure. It's wild. These are real people and they did these things. So yeah, is there Is there anything else about the trial, perhaps? I mean, we're all in this holding pattern. We'll be sitting here waiting for the like literally right here waiting for the for her sentencing and mm-hmm. the amount of time. If we had to guess, let's do useless speculation here. Like if we had to guess, like she's going to get at least some jail time, right? Like, again, nothing would surprise me in this terrible world of like white collar crime, but she's got to get some time for all this, right? This is crazy.
And I think it's worth asking, do you think Sunny will get more?
Yes. Ooh. I think Sunny will get more. I think it'll be like 5 to 7 years minimum security
for him.
For her.
Oh wow, that's more than I think she's gonna get.
What do you think?
I feel like she'll get 2 years tops. Oof.
Yeah, I could see that too.
With one year. What's the thing? Parole, like opportunity for parole.
Yeah, or like, even like some of it under house arrest or something. Like,
yeah, right. Like if she's sentenced to it, will she serve it all? Probably not. You know what I mean?
Okay, what am I going to say? Price is Right rules apply. So I'm going to be lame.
30 days.
Yeah. 31 days.
Time served.
It can't be January yet. I don't know. Like, I'm leaning towards minimal, but like, mm-hmm. it'd be like, in no world is she getting 10 years. Like, that. Like as I sit there trying to establish like what the ceiling is, right? I'm like, because it sounds
20 is the
like,
ceiling.
20 is right, the ceiling,
with,
yeah.
With the actual ceiling. But like, then there's the ceiling of what I think is reality beneath the one that is law. And I'm like, even 10 sounds like way too high.
Yeah.
So like, man, under 5, this is terrible. And she can only
They're going to account for her having a baby, right? Yeah. They're going to be like, oh, she needs to be home with her kid, even though, like, obviously we don't do that for anyone else.
Yeah.
I think they're going to 18 months, 2 years.
Will she be pregnant? Okay. These are the questions. That will she be pregnant again?
Whoa, Marissa.
Marissa, you're cracked the case.
I don't want to think that way, but I'm, you know, thinking that way.
But she did this to us. She did this to us. We're just living in her world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and do we think that, like, regardless of what her sentencing is and what she serves, do you think she'll come out of this like doing something else? Like, do you think she'll start something new, or like be the savior of a female work in Silicon Valley? Like, she's like,
she's gonna start a company called She Work.
Oh boy.
And she's,
did you see that picture?
I don't know. Oh, with the Jared Leto.
Yes.
Oh yes, there's God. Like the picture to account for it, give us context for the event they referenced on the show of like her meeting Jared Leto. Like, wow, it really happened.
Oh my God. She's not allowed to run a company for a certain number of years.
For 10
right?
years.
Well, right. What I'm saying is, yes, I was going to bring this up. Shouldn't that be infinity years? Yeah. Like, can we at least not agree on that? Like, if she's found guilty,
never run a company again.
Which is like, I think that's a pretty safe and fair thing. Like, you're just. No, you can just never do this again.
Works at Chipotle or something. Like, I'm like, where's she gonna end up?
She could have a job, yeah. I just the owning the company thing, I just yeah, I mean she could try to buy Chipotle maybe.
She'll work the speaker circuit.
Or buy Twitter.
She'll be like, hi. I have my own podcast.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're totally right, Marissa. It's going to be her being like, I, along with like Tanya Harding and Monica Lewinsky, and like a maligned woman of the 90s or whatever.
Oh, not going to lie. I would tune in. I would tune in for that.
Right?
No, I can't believe you put that out to the universe, but I absolutely agree.
She's going to do it. It's going to be this thing where it's like, these women were also like unfairly treated by the media.
Yes.
Like how I was unfairly treated by the media.
Monica Lewinsky. Yes. Oh my God.
And then Monica's going to have her own podcast. And she's like, no, you are not.
Yeah. Monica's going to have like a one podcast where it's just like her basically just saying that Elizabeth Theranos is not her. And she's never allowed to say that.
Yes. We stand.
That makes me sad to consider that, because that's probably true, especially like we know how these arcs go these days, where like person is found out, Person takes some time away. Person comes back with like a shrug emoji and is like, we're all good, right? I mean, I could work on a different channel or whatever.
Yeah, like no one really gets canceled, even if it's by the judicial system. Like,
well, like when we saw her, I mean, obviously, we don't know if she said this for real, but she was comparing herself to like lots of women she shouldn't have been comparing herself to in the show. So I could see her doing it again going forward.
Oh, she thinks hashtag Iron Sisters. That's going to be the name of the podcast.
Yes, oh Iron Sisters. Oh my God. Okay. Yes.
How dare you? How dare she? and Amelia Earhart of all, I'm like, no, you disappear. You disappear and you leave her name out of your mouth.
Did you know that like her family like is related?
She's related to Amelia Earhart?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Like, yeah. And her family had like all of this money, and like Shirley Temple used to come to her like great grandparents' house, and like they lost all this money by the time that like her dad was in Enron.
Like, incredible.
I forgot her dad was in Enron. This whole thing is a house of cards. Burn it down. We just need to burn this whole thing down. Like, we cannot. No companies.
Can stop with you, Elizabeth. The cycle can stop.
Yes, stop it. Stop owning companies. Stop defrauding people. Focus on your baby. Your husband makes it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say like just be, you know, dependent on your husband, but like you be independent, but like, or be, yes, I don't know, just please don't own a company. I don't know. I think that's what we can agree on. Like, I think that's a very, very low bar that we can all agree to clear together.
I had to just check I had to do a quick search of my Kindle real quick because I was like, didn't she have that like a Fleischmann yeast background? I couldn't remember if that was her, but yeah, that was her.
Yeah, it's like she's connected to all of these weird things.
Mm-hmm. That's too much. It's too much.
I've been filling the coffers of Elizabeth Holmes throughout our sourdough obsession.
I'm just gonna Venmo her money. Just be like, here, just like take it directly to her. Oh yeah, yeah. Is there anything else? I guess we've used up all the blood that we got in that tiny little vial, and there's not much more left, right? I mean,
we've diluted as much as possible.
We've diluted it in the Siemens machine, you know, but it has like a little sticker in front of it that says not Siemens. and I guess that's it. Yeah, I mean, we keep saying it, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see where we land, how much time she gets, what happens with Sunny. But man, the story, it's wrapping up, but like, yeah, unfortunately, I think what we can agree on is we haven't seen the last of her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In any regard.
Yeah.
So Lindsay, what else is going on with you? This was super fun. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, this was so great. Ariel was on my podcast, BoJack Horse Pod, and mentioned that you were going to be covering this, and I was like, I don't care, I need to be on this. I am usually somewhat ashamed to demand to come on people's podcasts, and so I was like, nope, I'm doing it. I'm gonna bug you every day. And so this was truly a dream, so thank you very much.
That's awesome.
It was a pleasure.
Marissa, where can people find you?
Well, people can find me and you and our friend Grace covering Russian Doll season 2, our season 1 rewatch coverage, just started today, which is Friday. So there's stuff in the binge show recaps feed for you there if you'd like to get caught up on Russian Doll before the new season starts on Wednesday, April 20th. So I will be there. I'm also on Twitter at asmarsbars, MarzBars, if you'd like to talk about anything, really. That's where you can find me. Also, can't forget the Patreon Discord. If you'd like to join us on Patreon and support Post Show Recaps, you can do so at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And you get access to our Discord at any level, and we'd love to see you there.
All of us are there.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. We're all there. Some have said that Elizabeth Holmes is in there, but we can't we're not allowed to dox anyone, so we can't.
Zora was there the other day.
No, we don't talk about Zora. but yes, he did make an appearance the other night on Movie Club Night. Yes, I am on Twitter as well at that other Ariel, covering Russian Doll, like Marissa said, and covering movies every week with a friend of all pods, Grace Leader. Mm-hmm. And we just covered Sonic, which was like probably the highlight of my podcast tonight. I'm just kidding. we're there every week. Please join us. And that's it. If you've made it this far, we appreciate you listening. As always, thank you so much. See you later. Bye.